week 7 of the NFL season got underway yesterday with the Denver Broncos beating the New Orleans Saints. Fifth straight loss for the Saints. We've got a pretty good weekend of football coming up here. A couple of marquee games. Lions at Vikings, I think that's one. Obviously, everyone's got their eyes on the 49ers and Chiefs. We'll get to that one in a second. But there are a couple of others to watch. The Lions and the Vikings, I think, is a super interesting game that everyone's going to overreact to. If the Lions beat the Vikings, it's going to be C, the Vikings aren't real. C, the Vikings were maybe a benefit of their schedule. C, this is the beginning of the Vikings kind of coming back to the pack a little bit. You go the other way, Vikings beat the Lions. Well, the Lions might not be able to recover after the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. They could be in for an uphill battle the rest of the season. Oh, but these Minnesota Vikings, they are a championship contender. All of that might be true on both sides, but one thing that is for certain, come Monday, the game that people are probably going to overreact to the most is the Lions and Vikings.
I think they're both legit, but I also think, too, winner coming out of this game is the best team in the NFC. Lions are playing good football lately, I think.
I think the Lions are playing good football. But so are the Vikings. It does feel like the Vikings have a bit of a, like, Cinderella syndrome. Like, the clock is going to strike midnight.
That's because of Sam Darnold, though, I feel.
Is it, man?
Yeah, because, well, let's keep it real. You think otherwise, I think, because of one reason. But he just wasn't good to start his career.
No, he wasn't.
Just like, waiting for that shoe to drop, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not. I think it's legit now, but.
I think Sam Darnold is closer to the quarterback we're watching right now than any quarterback we've seen in years past. I think he's a lot, because I don't think what he's doing right now, it's not like he's Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. Like, he's playing solid, smart football. He's got a great team around him, and he's taking advantage of everything that's around him. And I don't think he's playing over his head, so to speak. I think he's just playing like a solid quarterback. To me, what we're witnessing right now, that's Sam Darnold, the quarterback. That's much closer to who he is as an NFL quarterback than anything we saw with the New York Jets or, what was it, the Carolina Panthers. And I think he's a lot closer to that. Everyone said that he looked great when he was in a 49ers uniform. At practice, oh, he was incredible. Oh, these priests, all of this, that's great. I think he's closer to what we're watching right now. Now, I don't know how that ranks in terms of, like, top 10, 15, 20 quarterbacks in the league. It's a bit too early, I think, to rank him as a whole. Of course, you can rank him throughout the season if you want to, but...
Is the MVP stuff real?
No, I don't think so.
Like, would you give him... Do you think he deserves an MVP vote, top three vote?
Sure. Like right now, today, absolutely. Top three, Lamar. You know I want to say Baker, but I won't. Yeah, you could put Sam Darnold in there. Lamar would be, who do you give your first place vote to is Lamar Jackson. I don't know if Sam Darnold would be my second place vote or my third place vote, but yeah, he's absolutely warranting. Great call by Ramsey, Jaden Daniels. You put him in this conversation too. But yeah, I'm perfectly fine with Sam Darnold having an MVP vote or getting top three MVP votes.
From the offices of Colin Madsen too, real quick, Ricky Pearsall's active for this Sunday.
I love it. Let the kid play football.
No Juwan Jennings, he's out.
Okay. Okay. Well, if fair to say, Kyle, there's a place for him. There's a place for Ricky Pearsall this game with Juwan Jennings out.
Probably not.
I said probably not.
All right. I don't know why Kyle hates good stories. No, it's fine. Kid gets shot, just wants to play football. Kyle, like, no. Sorry.
Kyle gives us the real.
No. Come on, you're a Disney guy. Give us a happy ending here. Pause. Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. No, wow. Yeah. You guys, that's flag.
That's my bad.
That's crazy.
That's my bad.
No, that's you, no, wow.
I said my bad.
That's a pass interference, like, wow. 60 yards down the field.
Man, that's tough. Can't say nothing on this show. I see me. can't even talk as I attempt to move on from that. Lions and Vikings, Texans at Packers. I think another big game. Packers, I know the Texans are good. Packers, I don't really have a feel for
it. I'm going to get you and KC to respect the Packers one day.
I don't. No. I'm not KC in this one. I'm not KC in this one at all. I just don't have a good, like, I don't have a good feel. Like, is it crazy? It's not wrong to like the Texans more than the Packers in this one, right?
No. The Texans are the favorite in this one.
Okay. Yeah, like, I'm not there where I think.
Maybe not you then, but, like, for Casey, I think they're a little bit more legit than Casey gives them credit for.
Is it the Packers or is it Jordan Love for him?
I think it's a mixture of both for him. But I think, like, Jordan Love is good, too.
It's a big game for the Packers. Packers get this one. That's big time. I think the Texans get this one. It's kind of business as usual for the Texans, and maybe you're looking at the Packers like, oh, maybe they're not quite ready. Packers get the Texans. I think that's a huge win for them. And then, of course, you got the 49ers and the Chiefs. That's obviously the one so many here are looking forward to. Santa Clara, Sunday afternoon, 49ers can't beat Patrick Mahomes, can't get a victory against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't think we learned anything about the Niners coming out of this game, but if it's anyone, it's probably going to be Brock Purdy. Not even if they lose. If they lose, it's kind of business as usual, but I think if they win and Brock Purdy kind of puts his stamp on the game, I think he might get some respect nationally.
I think he's starting to get a little bit more love. It was funny. I was getting my hair cut this morning. They had Cowherd on. Excuse me. And Cowherd did this thing on Brock where he just talked about him being the perfect quarterback for Kyle Shanahan and, you know, lays out this thing about how he, you know, he doesn't have a lot of horsepower. And they put Brock in like a Pinto, like a busted Pinto, and equated him to just a car that can get you from point A to point B. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, hold on, man. Like, wait a minute. Like, I get it. Maybe Brock's not a Ferrari, but what are we doing? Acting like he's just like a little Ford Taurus driving around the block getting you to the convenience store. Like, Brock is a...
It's a Toyota Camry.
Brock Purdy, and part... You know who I blame all of this on is Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan made Jimmy Garoppolo look like an NFL quarterback.
Jimmy went from highest paid quarterback in the league to, oh my gosh, he might be the worst quarterback.
He looks like unwashed ass. He is awful. Like, he can't get on the field anywhere. He got dumped by his old coach. We might not see Jimmy Garoppolo start a football game again. Kyle took that dude to the Super Bowl. That has completely destroyed the perception of Brock Purdy. Because Jimmy Garoppolo coming to that, man, look at what Kyle did. Kyle really can't get any quarterback to the Super Bowl. That's crazy. Brock must not be very good. Brock Purdy is not Jimmy Garoppolo. And there's nothing wrong with Brock Purdy being the perfect quarterback for Kyle Shanahan. I just don't know why that's such a conversation for people. Because to the best of my knowledge, Andy Reid is a really good coach. Andy Reid is not only a really good coach, he's probably one of the greatest coaches the game has ever seen. And if you were to rank coaches over the last two decades, he's probably at the top of the list. Not one person has ever said, wow, Patrick Mahomes is succeeding because of Andy Reid.
I think a lot of that has to do with if Purdy was 6'5 and could throw a football 70 yards down the field, it'd be a lot different, I think.
I think a lot of it is also Andy Reid traded up, or the Kansas City Chiefs at least, traded up to draft Patrick Mahomes, what, at number 10? Meanwhile, Brock was me on the wake-up call this morning.
Pretty much.
What's left? that guy. Well, send him to the 49ers. He was the last kid picked in kickball. But it works. And much like me on the wake-up call this morning, Brock Purdy has emerged victorious. The last pick in the draft has done well. But this tying him to Kyle Shanahan, like put him in a pinto, in a busted pinto, talking about, oh, he's going to get you from point A to point B. Man, that's a good quarterback. And he doesn't have to apologize for being good with his coach. And maybe you're right. Maybe Brock Purdy has more to earn. Maybe Brock Purdy has more to get out of this. I don't know. Of the three big games that we just mentioned, I don't know that there's a major narrative coming out of this 49ers-Chiefs game. This might be the least one. Because if the Chiefs win, no, their dominance over the 49ers continues. 49ers at 3-4. What exactly are they this year? 49ers win. Oh, Chiefs have been flirting with fire a little bit. Maybe San Francisco's back. Like, I don't think there's anything.
No matter win or loss for both teams, I feel like it's just both teams are who they were coming in, leaving out.
There's no definitive statement. Lions beat the Vikings, Vikings beating the Lions. The winner of that game is going to get a lot of what you just said. Best team in the NFC talk.
Yeah. I think with the 49ers, the only way they'll be able to change the narrative about themselves is if they go on a run this season.
Right. And so they can't go on a run right now.
Yeah.
You can win one game. You can start the run, but you can't get any great benefits out of beating the Chiefs. And I think the same is true for the Chiefs. Like if beating the 49ers, I don't think that's exactly a massive deal for them. Our man Eddie Gonzalez, I think he's set to join us coming up here next. We'll talk to Eddie about a variety of different things, including his boy Devontae. Devontae Adams deserve a little heat for the way things ended in Las Vegas. It's coming up. Steve and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We just pick up that conversation. We was talking about Sabrina. There is no point in pretending like that's not what we were talking about. We're talking about Sabrina Ionescu's shot the other night, game 4 of the WNBA Finals tonight, begging for a game 5 to get back out there in Brooklyn, man. But this has been I need a magical ending to this magical season, man. Give me two more. I don't care who wins. Just let me get the links, get this one tonight, and give me that final game in Brooklyn later on in the week.
Yeah, I selfishly want a game 5 so it could be out here and I could go. It's I was talking about it with some guys after the last game. The margin of error for the Lynx is so small, though.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah.
The way you can play, you look at the game day one and it, what had to happen to do that, and then now look at what they lost. And you're talking about 1-2 shots down the stretch and like very small margin of error. And if they go to overtime, you don't necessarily feel comfortable with the way they had to turn out buckets so much. So I hope there's a game 5. If you're the Liberty, though, obviously you want to – the champagne's in the building.
Oh, yeah.
You want to celebrate what a champagne's.
And that's tough, though. That's tough when the champagne is there, like, because you know it's there. Like, they try to hide it, but you know it's there. And
yeah, no, that's I've been saying that for forever. I love seeing how players operate when the champagne's in the building, and what we mean is like there can be a celebration tonight. It's somewhere in the Target Center tonight. It's not in the locker room yet. They don't got the rope up, the tarp up yet, but you know it's there. You want to take advantage of that opportunity. But if you're the Lynx, look, we got home court. We take this one game at a time. We've already beat them on their home court, so we win this game. You know, one game for the title is all we could have asked for in the beginning of the season back in March. So let's lock in. Let's make it happen. I feel like they feel like they got the best player in the series. They've shown they can hang with them over and over. It seems like they can get a dribble drive whenever they feel like with Courtney Williams, and they've been running that pick and roll and finding that space. So there's stuff to do, but I do think the margin of error is small. They didn't have to play a great game. The scary part is it doesn't feel like the Liberty's played a complete game yet.
It doesn't. Yeah, that is the scary part. It doesn't. But what I wonder with that, Eddie, is are they capable against this team? Because if there's a matchup out there, even more so than the Aces, if there's a tough matchup out there for New York, it's Minnesota. Like from the bigs to the guards, and maybe even most importantly, they ain't scared of nothing.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're not afraid to go 5 out putting a Feast of Collier at center, say, look, we're gonna guard her with we're gonna guard Stewie with Fee. We take away that pick and roll. Now you gotta run it through Jonquil. And it's the funny part is the two games of Liberty pulled out late, it was running pick and roll with Sabrina Ionescu and Jonquil Jones. So they want that. They prefer that than the ball in Stewie's hands. But yeah, Minnesota's not scared of them. And if they are hot with the shooting tonight and Fee has a better night, you know, we're going to be playing next week. We're going to see a game five. I'm going to get my wish, and maybe I'll get to go and see what happens.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I'm with it. We were talking during the commercial break about just getting this preseason over, man, getting to the regular season and start to see, you know, real hoops jump off. What league pass teams are you tapped into this year?
I want to see Memphis. I feel like Ja has become weirdly one of the more underrated players in the league, and there's plenty of reasons. We just didn't get to see him a lot last year. He's got his own stuff that he went through that kind of like, you know, turned people out of his favor. But I want to see them for sure. I want to see Zach, the big fella. I'm a big fan of him. That's one of those guys where I don't like to be the die on the hill guy, but seven, whatever he is, and soft touch post game. Like, I don't know why we overthought that. And somebody was like, well, he went number nine. It's like, yeah, but look at who went one, two, and like, come on.
Man, it is so, draft looking a little rocky.
I selfishly want to see him get his stuff on, but I want to see Ja play. I want to see Ja look great again. I'm interested in the Suns, obviously. I want to see the Kings. They've had a little bit of rocky preseason, but I want to see how they put all that together. This De'Aaron Fox contract thing, I'm curious, like, I know the math says wait and then go get your money later. It's just the wording with some of this reporting is like, what are y'all saying?
So I ask you that. Do you think the wording is intentional? Do you think the wording is from De'Aaron? Or do you think this is just – it's we're just reading too much into it and there ain't really nothing there? Because to me, this story has been less than nothing. Like, it's just not a big deal. Like, you said it right. Just from a math perspective, it makes sense for him to try to play it out one more year. The real issue becomes if he doesn't make it. Because then you're entering the final year of your contract, and no one – I don't think De'Aaron wants to play out the final year of his contract. I don't think Rich Paul wants him to play out the final year of his contract. And I know the Sacramento Kings don't want him to play out the final year of his contract. They want him to be here long term. So I think the only concern really with De'Aaron not signing that deal is what if he doesn't make it, then what do they do? All parties, yeah, I mean, what do they do?
It's a bet on yourself moment, right? He's essentially betting that he can win an award or make first or third, second, third team, or he won't get hurt. And it's a safe bet. I mean, we don't know the true relationship between him and the front office, him and Vivek, Clutch and Vivek. All of that good stuff. You would assume the Kings want to keep their homegrown star. They let one go. They made that decision, and that's I would assume that's part of the thought process too. Like, we chose him over Halliburton in a sense. We don't want to go through this again. Blah 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 blah. But it is kind of a non-story in a sense where if he makes it through the season healthy, he has a contract waiting for him. You know what I mean? Just because he's playing smart with the math, it doesn't mean he wants to leave Sacramento. He's given no indication that he wants to. And at the end of the day, we could make Clutch and Rich Paul the big bad wolf all we want. The way they make the most money is they get him the most money. And the most money still will be at home. So I think it's a little bit of a non-story. We're seeing a lot of guys kind of drag out the contracts quite a bit. The story came up today with KD because his deadline's today as well. You watch what the Rockets are doing with their young guys. They haven't extended Jalen Green. They haven't extended Alfie. You know, it's you push it as far as you can. You want to see what the cap is going to be with the new TV contract and all this stuff. But I do think it's a non-story. They pay Domas. They're making win-now moves. You're not letting De'Aaron Fox walk out of that arena, out of that city, younger than 30 years old, All-NBA, All-Star guy. Like, you don't do that.
You think De'Aaron is – like the one, like, is he one of them guys? Like,
yeah,
I can build everything around De'Aaron Fox.
I think so. And you just look at how the league is played and you look at the improvements he's made, even his shooting from three, and he's taking more, he's making a higher clip. all this stuff. But you look at how the league is played, like ball handling, shot creation is the absolute premium in this league, especially as you get into the playoffs. Look at what we watched in the playoffs last year. Look at who we vote for MVP. Now, I know Jokic won it, but he's similar to that. He drives, he gets the ball in the paint, essentially, and then creates offense from there. De'Aaron's great at that. He cares on defense. Like, this is what you want from a franchise player. So, yeah, I do think he's one of those guys. I think the comp – I got in trouble, like, 2 years ago arguing about who's more valuable right now in the trade market, Kyrie or De'Aaron Fox. And people got mad because I said De'Aaron Fox. But, again, you look at – I think a good comp would be, like, Jalen Brunson. Not just because they're both left-handed, but the way they're able to create offense in that way – and how much of a premium that is and how far you can go with a team if you put the right team around that type of guy. So have we got to see it just yet? I mean, we've got to see one playoff series and he had ups and downs, but he had his moments too. But I do think he is that high level a guy. And again, it's about putting him with the right team.
It's funny you brought up Jalen Brunson. We were talking about him earlier this week. You know, these lists come out, these ESPN top 100 lists, all of these different things. And it's all good. Like his content, like we look at it, we have some fun with it. But the idea that Jalen is like on an entirely different tier than De'Aaron is pretty wild, because when you look at De'Aaron Fox's numbers in this incarnation, we'll call it the Mike Brown incarnation of the Sacramento Kings, and you look at Jalen Brunson as a New York Knick, they're nearly identical. Mm-hmm. They're virtually identical. The difference, as you just kind of alluded to, the difference is Jalen kept doing it in the playoffs, and Jalen ramped up in the playoffs. We saw De'Aaron ramp up, but unfortunately it came to an end after seven games. We always wanted De'Aaron to have that Ja Morant start to his playoff career. Like Ja's career, like Ja's numbers went nuts when he got to the playoffs for the first time, and they never came back down. Like, it was like, that's him as a player now. That's what De'Aaron did. And then, you know, last season kind of petered out, and then of course they wind up missing the playoffs, and Domas is the only starting five guy who misses the playoffs, which was brutal to watch. But the comp between Jalen and De'Aaron, I think, is spot on.
Yeah, when you talk around the league, it's when you talk about star level, then you all-star, then all-NBA, and you go up through these tiers, it's always about consistency. Yes, playoffs matter, but it's about consistency, keeping it, you know. Some players can be great for a quarter. Some players can be great for a game. Some guys can do it for a week, a month, a season. And that's why what separates guys. And you want to see that deep, long run. And we're not even talking finals, conference finals. JB earned his bones first round, second round series. You know, he just started to get hurt. I think the same is for Halliburton. You know, we were kind of, let's see what we see. And in game seven on the road, he has a great game. And I'm not the biggest Halliburton fan there ever was. But it got to the point where it's like, yo, he's drilling these with all the marbles and in that arena against that team and the wings they're throwing at, like at some point to that. And I think if De'Aaron has that moment, he'll get the hat tip from a lot of people who aren't paying as close attention. Mm-hmm. But around the league, you know, scouting reports start with De'Aaron Fox when Sacramento comes to town.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We had this conversation earlier this week. If you were making a list of great players, which one of these two would be ranked higher? The two players you just mentioned, Jalen Brunson or Tyrese Halliburton?
So I did a list. Jalen was higher.
Okay.
I think he was 15th and De'Aaron was 25th. But like, it's like a similar tier of player. Like the group of players amongst that group was Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, Tyrese Halliburton. I think Paul George was the next player after De'Aaron Fox. So like, Bam Adebayo's in there, like that tier of player. So we're talking about an all-star tier level of player. Again, I think it's splitting hairs at that point. Mm-hmm. We talk about all four of those point guards, mm-hmm. right? Mitch, who has been further in the playoffs than Jalen and De'Aaron. Trae, who's been to a conference final, so I think it's gotten crazy underrated as well. But you're talking about guys who are giving you similar stuff, and I think in the right situation can go that far. But that – includes De'Aaron, like De'Aaron with the right amount of defense around him and shooting. And, you know, if De'Aaron has the stuff that Jalen has in New York last year, you know, who's to say he can't make a similar run? He can't beat a Philly. He can't go head to head with Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey also, I think, is right in that group as well. Mm-hmm. And he's the youngest of the bunch. He's incredible to me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think, look, we're talking rankings and you got to pile them all on top of each other versus tiers. They're all in the same tier. They're all the same type level of player. And there's an elevation still for them. Kind of like what we seen with Anthony Edwards last year, something along those lines, but they're right there.
You brought up your boy, KD, earlier in the extension deadline and all that. Didn't Woj, before he retired, didn't he say he going to the Rockets?
Hey, you look, you know I'm a little biased in the Scoop Wars, but that was a fun summer. I mean, going back to the wording of the
He's never mentioned it again either. He was just like, no, Rockets and Kevin Durant, and then just dipped.
Going back to the De'Aaron Fox reports, like, you know, these scoops come from somewhere and they're strongly worded from somewhere and they're meant to paint certain pictures, and the reporters are doing their job. I don't blame them. You know what I mean? If somebody comes to you and says it with good authority, hey, the Rockets would love Kevin. Of course the Rockets would love Kevin Durant. So would the 76ers and the Miami Heat and the Sacramento Kings. It's on you to then report it and what that paints, and you're trying to sell the draft and you're trying to sell your free agent show. And there's reasons to report that and say, hit the KD button, right? KD might get traded on draft night. Tune in. Who knows? It's the same for De'Aaron Fox. Like, to say De'Aaron Fox hasn't signed an extension yet is not necessarily big news, but to kind of push it as like, yo, Clutch is fully exploring his options. And you know, Clutch, their guys, they get up and they go. That's a more clickable story. So it's kind of the same thing, but it's, you know, you read between the lines a little bit, you follow the media game, you understand it more and more.
Well, we'll shift gears here for a minute because you're talking about reading between the lines. The Davante Adams trade finally happened. So Davante is out of Los Angeles. He's in your backyard now. He's playing for the Jets. This felt like the dumbest, most open secret. Like, this is the, I mean, Davante Adams to wherever Aaron Rodgers was feels like it became a conversation the second Davante landed in Oakland. But does Davante deserve any heat for the way that this thing ended with the Raiders?
I mean, as a Raider fan, sure, you know, but I think we talked off air before. We can talk about it now. We talked off air in the summer. Like, yeah, the word is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If it goes left, he's out of here.
Yeah.
And so it's not all that surprising that business is business. I think it does look a little crazy when you watch the show and him and A-Rod have dinner and it's all this stuff. And then whatever happened with him and Coach Pierce, does he deserve smoke? I mean, I guess, but it's only so much smoke I can give for a guy running out the building that's on fire, sure, you know?
And that's a good point.
And so it's, you pay a receiver that much, that's a win now move. And the point is to then bring in a quarterback. And I mean, I guess you thought you had it with Derek Carr when you did that. But when you let go of Derek Carr, his guy, and a big reason why he came, you understand it's a ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm. He gave you a season with nothing, and he was not going to give you a second. So I don't blame him. I mean, ideally they get the second or the third or whatever it is that pick tops out at. The funny part to me is it's not like the Jets are just this incredible team. They have their own issues as well.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like Aaron Rodgers though, so I would be blinded. I would be blinded if the Jets had like all pros everywhere. I'd be like, yeah, their quarterback is ass. I don't like him, so I just hope that they fail.
It's hard to not notice that he's just not the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you wonder if he's going to get better as the season goes along. It actually does feel like he has gotten, like, a little bit better. His mobility is so bad, though. Like, he cannot move.
That's the thing is Davante going to keep him upright?
Yeah.
Because if Davante can't keep him upright, he's going to be on receiver season two complaining just as much about being open and not getting the ball because Aaron Rodgers is tackled. So, that's tough. I mean, the injuries pile up. You're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback who's getting hit a lot. Who knows what comes of that team? That's not a Super Bowl standout to me. The Bills, but look how they lost. Look at the flaws they have that caused them to lose that game.
Yeah, and they got a lot of them, man. It's not just one. You did say something though that I feel like enough people don't pay attention to, and I thought this was the case with Davante because everyone would ask the question. One of the talking points leading into the trade from the Las Vegas perspective was, if you're trading Davante Adams, what does that mean for your season? Like, are you tanking it? Like, what are you doing? And to me, it didn't mean anything. Like, you don't have a guy who can get him the ball. Like, you're not actually losing a weapon. It's like you threw a bullet away because you don't have a gun. And like and that's what Devontae is. Devontae is the bullet. They don't have a gun to fire it. And so trading him meant nothing.
You didn't have him for the last couple of weeks. You know what I mean? And you had a game where you felt like you were fine without him. You won without him. Not to say he's not a great player or a difference maker, because I think he is. I don't even think this was like an addition by subtraction type of thing either. But it's like it's a negligible move in the now. It's like you're going to look into trading him this summer anyway. Mm-hmm. You're going to look into figuring out what to do with him anyway. He's disgruntled. He's clearly disgruntled. He's joking about it on the way out. He's got his shoes ready already the minute he's been in New York, like all this stuff. So
that man was on Pat McAfee's show. He showed up behind Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show. That was crazy.
Yeah, so it's one of those negligible moves. I don't know if it's the sign of the tank, but now if they trade Max Crosby, which people are trying to make it sound like they're thinking about going, that's the beginning of the tank. But, I mean, when I asked around, it sounded like that's not the issue at all. He's disgruntled as he should be, but he's showing up every week. He's trying to turn it around. I think, you know, Max has a connection to the city and just his lifestyle in general. He don't really want too much change. Now, he don't want to lose. He said that outright. He's not here to rebuild. Mm-hmm. But I think you have some time with that situation. End of the day, and we talked about this on this show, until you figure out the quarterback, there's nothing really to talk about in Las Vegas. You can't really evaluate that team while you're trotting out. Well, it's not XFL no more. It's UFL-level quarterbacks every week. And that's all due respect to those guys. But look at the division they're playing in. And you can't win in this league without a quarterback. Gone are the days of the Trent Dilfer run to the Super Bowl with the great defense. It's just not happening.
Yeah, now all of a sudden you got Bo Nix emerging as like a serviceable quarterback for Sean Payton. You got Harbaugh down there with Herbert. And then, of course, you got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And you're Antonio Pierce looking around at Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Like, that's a failure from that organization. But we knew that, though. We knew that when they signed Gardner Minshew. We knew, like, this isn't going to cut it. And it's put Antonio Pierce in a spot where he looks crazy. And that's what I'm concerned about. AP looks crazy right now, six weeks into this season. And they've got to – I mean, if it's all good in the walls, that's all that matters. If it's all good within the walls of where the Raiders are, then that's fine. You'll navigate all this stuff publicly. But right now, man, it looks tough. And, yeah, you got to figure out the quarterback spot for sure. But you got to make sure that AP is your guy moving forward, because you don't want to pull the plug on this next year. Like, if you have concerns about Antonio Pierce as your coach, that plug's got to be pulled this year. Like, that plug's got to be pulled after week 18. And then you take the steps to get better. But you got to have either a full commitment or a complete withdrawal from Antonio Pierce, one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's been a main situation for the Mark Davis Raiders since he took over this team. Look at the amount of coaches they've had, interim and full time, and the quick turnover for those coaches and how willing they were to do that and go with the next hot topic and do whatever. And they need stability in that organization, both with the coach and the president/GM/front office in general. They haven't instilled any of that, and they've tried different versions. They tried to import the Patriots cast offs over. They tried the John Gruden situation with the TV guy. And then all, like, they need stability there, which also means you need to sit it out while you go through the rough times and figure out what's what and get your quarterback. At the end of the day, you got to have a quarterback in this league. And historically, there's only a couple ways to do that. Free agent quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And when they do, they're very expensive. And they can be worth it if you get the right one. You look at what Kirk Cousins is doing in Atlanta. He's making them a playoff team. They look like a bona fide team. Maybe they're not a title contender, but it's a team that's going to show up every Sunday and compete. So you're either going to do that, or you're going to draft top five. Historically, you're going to draft top five, have a great quarterback. You'll get really lucky. You strike on somebody late fourth, fifth, sixth round, but that only happens once a decade, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you either got to be really bad and just draft high, and you want Shador, whomever it is you want coming out this year, or you got to hit free agency. But you look like great starting level quarterbacks don't just come available in free agency, because usually we have them, we pay them, we keep them here, and we move on.
Yeah,
so,
right.
They got to figure that out. And I don't think they have the answer just yet.
You feel like you know who the best team in football is right now?
I mean, it's the Chiefs. I mean, it's they're the champs. And they just, going back to stability, look at what they've built there. There's just something to that continuity and to the confidence they always seem to have on the field, like in any situation. we never watched them on 3rd and 10 like, oh, this is hopeless. You know right. what I mean? We never watched them on 4th and 1 and be like, oh, what are they going to do? We always feel like they got a chance. And it's not just the quarterback. It's the offense. It's Andy Reid. And now it's their defense. Somebody had a tweet the other day that said he's won a Super Bowl. He didn't have a first down for 30 minutes. So it's like now they got the defense to compete with that. So, I mean, I think it's them. I think they're kind of like the Patriots of the last generation where I'm only going to care so much about the regular season. There's always a confidence with them, and they're going to get home field, and you got to go there and beat them. So to me, it's still them right now.
Yeah, when you talk about, I'm with you 100%. Like, it's fun watching the Vikings and the Lions and some of these other teams. But when you're talking about a team that won the Super Bowl last year and you're complaining about them winning ugly, their wins aren't pretty enough, that gives me a pretty good inclination that that's the best team in football. They're not winning pretty enough. They're 5-0. They literally haven't lost, but they're not winning pretty enough is the argument. Nah, they're just fine.
I would love them problems. And at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is – he's as great as advertised. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this as a Raiders fan who I had to watch that show to be like, you know what? I kind of get it. But he's as great as advertised. His arm is great. His decision making is improved. He knows that offense, the only offense he's ever known as a pro. And he's just figuring it out. Like you said, it's almost more impressive to win ugly, you know, than had they been racking up 500 yards and 400 yards passing and just running up and down the field.
Yeah.
They lost their number one running back and number one receiver 2 weeks into the season,
yep. And
they're still 5-0. Nobody scares me as far as them yet. I do really like Detroit, though. I'm happy you mentioned them.
Yeah.
And I do like what the Vikings are doing. Got to see a full season of Sam Darnold to earn the full trust, but, man, they got a lot going over there. So I think that's the cream of the crop. I like Baltimore a lot. You can't count them out for me. But – you know, as a Lamar truther, I still want to see like that great playoff run from Lamar too.
I do too, but Lamar might be looking at his third MVP right now. Like, I don't know that there's I don't know there's a player in the league better than Lamar Jackson right now.
You know, it's funny, bro. Like, we came up so long and like, yo, the quarterback need to be a statue in the pocket and don't run it up. And now we watch how effective these guys are running and how important it is. It's like, yo, what? Why did we overthink?
Well, that quarterback you just described is dead. Like, that quarterback does not exist.
We don't want no parts of that quarterback mm-hmm. right now. Even you look at somebody like Jared Goff. Jared Goff is like a quick decision maker. He's not standing in the pocket for a long time. And even when he does have to move around a little bit, he can get you a little 8-yard scamper and get down, you know?
Yeah. Eddie, appreciate you, brother, man. Thank you, as always, for spending time with us.
Yes, sir. See you next week, man.
Yeah, you bet. That's a man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there. Sacramento's finest. We'll come back. Dougie McDermott spoke at practice today. We'll hear from the newest member of the Sacramento Kings, plus we'll hear from Mike Brown. Just got an alert that James Hamm is on the way. He'll join us as D'Lo and KC continue on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We're talking Stockton Ports.
Yeah.
Very good. It's Kyle Mattson of the Insiders, by the way, with us here. Just vibing. Appreciate it.
Hanging out.
Yeah, appreciate you. Your partner, the Insiders will take over here.
That's right. Whoops.
James Hamm on his way here in just a little bit. Actually, he's on his way here now. He'll be here in just a little bit. In the meantime, we'll hijack Sean Cunningham's Twitter account and hear from Sean McDermott, who looks like a substitute teacher.
Doug McDermott.
Thank you. Sean McDermott is
the head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, he is. And he hasn't been fired. He's done a fine job this year.
Hasn't made a three yet this preseason either. Does that concern you?
Well, could he?
We'll talk about it. No chance.
All right.
He has no jumper, for sure.
Here's Doug McDermott.
Good time. But yeah, a lot of physicals, a lot of airplanes, and felt good to get out on the court last night for sure.
That's good. Yeah, welcome to Sacramento.
Thank you. Yeah.
When did this situation kind of maybe fall on your radar?
Honestly, like 3 or 4 days ago, just went and worked out with these guys. They had me work out with some of their coaches, and it went well. And, you know, that I just was here 2 days later. So it's just it all worked out. I really like the energy and vibes around this organization, so it's kind of a no-brainer for me.
That familiarity you have with Domas, how much do you think that'll help you?
That helps a lot, yeah. Obviously, just playing with him already, kind of knowing the way he likes to play, but also Alex Len and guys like that can really pass the ball. So just being here, anything they need, you know, just to impact winning, whether that's, you know, not playing, you know, getting thrown out there and having to shoot a bunch of threes, you know, whenever my number's called, you know, I'll be ready.
Did you expect to basically show up and take 11 threes and
25 minutes or whatever it was?
I honestly had no idea. When I got there, I got to LA pretty late the night before, and you know, I was really tired, and the next day I just was like, I mean, this is my only way of kind of getting real basketball feel back, so I might as well play.
Okay, hang on, Doug. Hang on. We're just going to stop right there. Do you hear what's happening? This man's talking about flying all over the place, taking physicals, being tired, not knowing what's going to happen, still got into a game before Kevin Huerter did.
Oof.
Like, bro.
Kevin Huerter's got a shoulder thing, man.
No, he's cleared. He's been cleared for like a week.
Yeah, but he just started. I don't know that he's played 5-on-5 yet.
Yes, he had to. He was cleared for 5-on-5 like last weekend.
Okay. Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable with his shoulder yet.
All right. If he doesn't feel comfortable with his shoulder, then...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, shout out to Doug McDermott for being like, I'm here to help the team however I can, whether that's not playing or shooting a bunch of threes, whatever they need. Like, yeah, Doug, you get it.
Doug will absolutely substitute at your child's class at some point this year.
I expect to play.
Just small forward Jack Cooley?
Strong vibes.
That much. But
strong vibes.
It definitely felt good, and cardio felt good.
Great hair.
Really good
Just
hair.
Great hair for you know, a 33-year-old.
You know, the legs got a little heavy at the end, but it felt good to see a few go in.
Doug, I want to go back 10 years. Of course, you know, the keys to McLemore, being McLemore, but were they looking at you at that time, too?
I think so. I think that was on the radar. That was back in the day, yeah. I think they were picking 8th or something. I ended up going 11th. But, yeah, I was always excited about Sacramento. I came out here and worked out, I believe. They met with us in Chicago. I've always been a big fan of the organization. I mean, I kind of miss playing, you know, at that old arena, you know, with the In-N-Out Burger next to it. But this new arena has been awesome. The fans have been great, and it's a special place to play.
I don't know why that suddenly got so much louder, but shout out to Sean Cunningham and Fox Sports for that.
I love that he's like, Sacramento Kings, always an organization I've been a big fan of, love what they've been doing.
Yep.
And I miss the In-N-Out Burger and Natomas.
Everyone misses
Big Natomas
the
guy.
Yep. Yep. I guess that's maybe James had it. I thought we had some Mike Brown sound from either James or Sean. It's always a little dicey when you go to James's audio because, well, there seems to be a basketball dribbling directly underneath him the entire
last night.
This appears to be absolutely no exception whatsoever.
Do we think Mike Brown knows who Kevin Huerter is in this clip?
I'm not sure. This is a long clip. We're not going to hear all of it. I'm going to go with Mike Brown doesn't even know if Kevin Huerter was at practice today.
I told our guys this before practice today that there are areas that we're getting better in that we've been emphasizing. I thought we played two really good offensive games in the preseason. This is the first two. And then the last three weren't great offensively. Utah was probably okay, but not great. And the reason being is in our first two games, and we're not going to do this, but our first two games, and I just did the halves, just the first half, because for the most part, our main guys play in the first half of every game. Game one, first half, I think we had, game one and two, we averaged four turnovers for both games in the first half, and 4 points off those turnovers. Game three, four, and five, we averaged 11 turnovers and 16 points off those 11 turnovers in the first half. And when you're turning the ball over 11 times and a half for 16 points, which equates to 22 turnovers and 32 points, you're not giving yourself as many opportunities to score.
I'm gonna be honest, I can't, Mike is just saying words. I appreciate Mike, just never mind. It's fine. It's fine.
Is Kevin here today?
No.
Kevin.
Kevin Malone, the guy who makes the chili. Yeah, we'll have to scan through the next 8 minutes to tell me if he says anything. He's still talking. Like, I don't think he's been asked another question yet. I'm just doing a quick scan through the video just to look to see if Mike, like, where the pause is and the next question is. I'm 2 minutes in. He hasn't paused yet. At least it doesn't appear.
Can't ask you about Kevin if you don't stop talking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's see what else Mike's got going on here.
Here, Trey was out here wearing a red jersey, but even Devin was out here. Where are those guys at, and are they, at least with Trey, is he getting anywhere closer to being cleared for contact?
Yeah, I still don't know the timetable, but, I mean, as you guys can see right now, Trey is playing live against players in one-on-one situation. And Jawad thinks he's still a player at times. So Jawad's in the mix with, you know, Scal and Sharif out there. But so to me, that's progress because I haven't seen this yet as a coach. I don't know what the timetable is on it, but we'll see in due time. It's good to see those guys out here. It's good to see those guys being involved. They're involved at different levels. But at the end of the day, we'll eventually get everybody healthy.
You also had a service. You also had
God.
Come on,
damn
Tony.
It. God damn it. Oh, my God. He was asking him.
Hey, we're so close.
Hey, hang on. What are the odds that this Tony question pertains to anything?
Oh, I bet Hammer was pissed.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, what's your thoughts about his play last night?
I'll tell you what, man. He got up at, I got to get my days right, today's Friday.
Oh, we're back on
Thursday. So he got up at 5 a.m. Wednesday to catch a flight.
All right.
I think he...
All right.
Did you see, though, how fast Mike's brutal head snapped towards Tony when he heard Kevin?
Yep.
It's like, Kevin, hey, Mike, yeah, literally anything else. Anything besides that.
Is he still talking about Doug?
Thoughts last night. He was still, I think.
Yep.
He is. Just, all right. Somebody, Hammer, come on, Hammer. Get
Mike's got 4 minutes on Doug McDermott.
Him like that, which is create more space for the rest of our guys. And so he knows what his job is, and he did it well. Oh. The last thing I would say about it is...
Oh, there's more.
Act three of his answer.
This is an 8-minute video, and there's three questions in it.
This is one of the... Oh, this is...
Draws the attention.
100%. Their gravitational pull without the basketball is some of the best in the league. Again, I'm not at all here for their teammates.
Did Kevin end up doing 5-on-5 scrimmages at this point? No, he was clear.
Oh, he's paid.
Some 5-on-5 at this point?
Boy,
yeah, we have a game that we call the next game, and so we had guys in here before practice playing 5-on-5 live, and Kevin was a part of that.
And like, do you 16? Know how it went with him?
Hey.
5 minutes on Doug McDermott, 7 seconds
He didn't want to share that either, just barely.
I am begging anyone listening to this show to convince me that man doesn't hate Kevin Huerter.